It's a great honor and a blessing to be able to come before you this morning, a very great this afternoon, a privilege. Brother Sonny said that we eat a lot. Well, I guess we all came hungry and thirsting, but, you know, I've been fed with what I was really looking for, not that natural food, but from the spiritual food that the Lord has richly poured out upon this meeting. I'm very thankful for all the blessings that have gone up in preparing for this meeting, because the Lord is answering those blessings in the services and the song service and in the preaching. And do beg an interest, continued interest, I know Brother Rick does too, that the Lord would continue to be with us in these services and in a preaching way this afternoon. It's been mentioned a couple of times already. I know Brother Mark Cole and Brother James mentioned it there in the book of 2 Corinthians about how the love of God constraineth us. How that the love of God constraineth, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And Brother James brought out about there's not many that he died for but have not judged. They have not seen, they've been not blessed to see what God did for them. They have been taught by other people to think that it is what is based upon what they do. But brothers and sisters, when we have been blessed to see what God has done for us, that is a blessing, even though I see myself then how I truly was without the grace of God. That's what constraineth me, that love. And that verse that they have quoted, you know, it doesn't end. One of the brothers said, you know, aren't you thankful that the word of God doesn't stop at some places? The 15th verse there that follows that, it says, and that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Brothers and sisters, why we came here today was not for ourselves. I am receiving great blessings. You're receiving great blessings. We came here to worship God, to worship our Lord and Savior. And, you know, that's something that we should always strive to do. That is something that, you know, put first and foremost in our minds. But one of the things that while the brothers have been preaching this weekend, I very much have enjoyed last night and this morning, there's some verses that kept repeating itself in my mind. It's found over in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll just read the first three verses there. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Now, here I believe the Apostle Paul in writing this, I'll just say that. I know there's some brothers that might not agree with that, but that's who I think wrote Hebrews, and you're going to hear me say Paul, so I'm going to just lay that out. And, you know, when Paul here is writing to his brothers and sisters of the Hebrews, of children of Israel there, he's reminding them of something all through this book here in Hebrews of better promises. He's showing them there's many that have been blessed to see that Jesus was Emmanuel. They were blessed to see that he was the one that had redeemed them from their sins. But, you know, because of different things, that sin that just easily beset them, there were some that was thinking maybe it's better to go back under the law. Even the book of Galatians, Brother Mark talked about that last night. There was those that brought in that little bit of leaven. And Paul would even tell you there in chapter 5 and verse about 9 there, the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul was so strong about keeping the truth of the word of God, not what the truth man says it is, but what God's word says. Thus saith the Lord. It is so important that we've been blessed with these words, these 66 books. God knew what we needed. Amen. God knew what we needed from before the foundation of the world, and he had called men in the older days, the prophets, to bring, thus saith the Lord. He called the apostles to go and preach the gospel. He inspired men to pen these things down. God was the author, but there was many men that wrote it down, but every bit of it harmonized. He knew what we needed, and he knew we needed to be reminded of those things. But there were those at this time that were starting to waver, if you will, starting to look back and think maybe what we're doing is just, you know, they were under great ridicule. They were under great persecution for believing in Jesus Christ, for following after Jesus. And that's why he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such great a crowd of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us." Sometimes that the sin that easily besets me is discouragement. You know, I look out and I get to looking at the things of the world and not looking at the Lord. I get discouraged, or maybe unbelief. You know, some of them didn't believe. Maybe this is not exactly what we thought it was. You know, whatever that sin is, Paul says to lay aside that and to easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That race that was set before Paul, he ran with patience, with cheerfully enduring. If you think about word patience and cheerfully enduring, look at the Apostle Paul. He ran a race. He was called to go and to preach the gospel into air, but he was, you know, it's one thing for me to, this week, sitting down, and we're going to go down to McMahon, Texas. I'd get the Atlas out and look. Now I pull up my phone. I pull up Google Maps. How far have I got to go? What's the best route? I can go and put it in the GPS on where I'm going. You know, I've got a car, air conditioner, and find that. But the race that Paul was called to do was to go into cities, to go into towns, and to preach the gospel unto Gentiles, unto men that looked at him as a traitor, that he had betrayed them, that he had turned from the law to the point he was beaten with 40 stripes, save one, 5 times. He was stoned, left for dead. But Paul, he goes on with that list there about, you know, what all he went through. That was the race that he, if you will, the course that he said he told Timothy that he had finished. He did that cheerfully enduring because of how important it was to preach the gospel unto the Lord's people. But I want to really concentrate a little bit more about that verse 2 there. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, Paul, in reminding those of the Hebrews there about seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Paul had mentioned in chapter 11, that chapter of faith there, a lot of faithful brothers and sisters that he looked back at and could use as examples. And I'm very thankful for the examples that I grew up around. I'm very thankful for the examples that I'm seeing right here, right now. But Paul brings our attention to the one we really need to be looking at. Looking unto Jesus. You talking about a course or a race that was set before him? Now, I'm speaking as a man, so I think in my mind, Brother James Conley brought out a saying that I grew up hearing, that talk is cheap until Jesus speaks.
Right.
Where's the word of a king, there's power.
Yeah.
When he spoke, people listened, or should have been anyway. Brothers and sisters, when we read the Word of God, there's still power in knowing and realizing this is God's Word. This is not just what Paul thought would be good, nor Peter or James or Isaiah. This was the Word of God that they were preaching. It's the Word of God. If God blesses men to preach, and I believe he's blessed already this weekend to preach the gospel, this is God's Word, and we need to be looking unto Jesus. Sometimes when we get so discouraged, we get into beat down from the world or the things about us, we need to be looking unto Jesus. That word looking there means to concentrate and focus on. To put your sight on him and him alone. Brother James told Brother Mark he needed to stick with law enforcement and not talk about cattle. So I'm not going to talk about cattle, but I am going to talk a little something about it. I do a little bit about. You know, several years ago, a lot of you knew, I dealt a lot with guns, shooting. Used to do some competition shooting when I was younger. You know, one of the first things that being around people who
shot competition, the first thing they'd teach you was to aim small, miss small. Meaning you put your eyes on the bullseye. You put your eye right where you want that bullet to go.
Right.
And you know, at long distance shooting, that kind of gets hard sometimes. You know, that it's some. I know some of you may not have ever even seen a gun range or been on one, but to think about what competition shooting, you've got men that will shoot further down, but used to, especially 1,000 yards, that's the pinnacle of long-range shooting, or used to be. That target, whenever you're down there at the target, that thing is huge, and that bullseye, that black bullseye, is yay big around. But you know, there's a spot right in the center of that black bullseye that's called the X. That's where you wanted those bullets to go. Because when you get into the upper tier of competition shooting, men and women that come from the world around, it's not did you shoot a perfect black bullseye, it's how many X's did you put right in the dead center of that target. You concentrate on the very center. But you know, said I did some competition shooting, I never went to some of the long range, but whenever you would go to the shorter ranges, you didn't have 1,000 yards, maybe you only had 200 or 300 yards, that target got a lot smaller. They made it proportional. It got a lot harder, actually. There were some of the men that I shot with said it is actually harder sometimes at these closer ranges, because that center spot was only about like that, shooting at 200 or 300 yards. And yes, I saw men that would sit there and just cut that ring right out of it sometimes. They were looking at what they were aiming at. Are we looking unto Jesus? That's what Paul's reminding us. We need to be looking unto him. You know, sin, what sin is missing the mark. We're sinners. Sinners saved by grace. Paul, the Lord knew, we're not perfect. We're still dealing with the sin that is in this old sin-cursed body. But we need to be looking unto Jesus. We need to be reminding day after day what Jesus Christ has done for us. Brothers and sisters, that talk that Brother James talked about, the talk is cheap. Talk is cheap when someone tells me, all you got to do. Yeah, I've heard that all my life. All you got to do. And there comes the problems then, brothers and sisters. It's not what you and I done. It's what Jesus did. That's what I want to be reminded of. That's why I want to be come to the house of God and be comforted in what he's done for me. Main question I get a lot of times at work, what's the difference? I've gotten to the point, I give all kind of answers. It doesn't matter. I just tell them, come and see. One of the main things that I do say is the difference is total depravity. Total depravity. Now, there's a lot of differences, and I know you know that. But brothers and sisters, when I look unto Jesus, and I think about sometimes when I get beat down and troubled and just get discouraged, what did Jesus do? Have I got my eye on him? Am I got and thinking about what he did for me? What he did for his people? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that gave us the faith. He gave every man the measure of faith, what Paul tells us in Romans. He gave us that faith. He's the one because of before we were born again, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, there was no fear of God before our eyes. There was no understanding. We didn't have any desire to follow after him, but because of what he did, I now can see that he is my Savior. I now can come to Bethany Church here in McMahon, Texas, and rejoice with the saints and be fed at the Master's table, not just feeding from the crumbs. But brothers and sisters, it took the power of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God one day sitting there on a pew to really realize what God did for me. That's why I can rejoice in this gospel. That's why when I do get discouraged and get beat down from the world, I can look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Just for a moment, let's just think about looking unto Jesus, what he did for us, when and how he did it. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, he over in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, he gives us a picture there. When we were dead in trespasses and sin, it talks about in the day of our nativity, you know, that we were the nativity of the navel was not cut, that we were not washed, that we were not salted, we weren't swaddled. We were cast out into the field, polluted in our own blood. But he said, when I walked by, it was a time of love and compassion. He said, when I walked by, I said, live. And brothers and sisters, you know what we did? We lived. Amen. He saw us polluted in our dead in trespasses and sin, enemies to him. But yet he still loved us so much that he walked by and he said, live. Yeah. And then he said he cast his skirt upon us. We became his bride. We were his bride before the foundation of the world. But brothers and sisters, what he's blessed us to see and to know is that he loved us no matter how wretched we were.
Amen.
I've said it before. I love the old Baptists. The only place I can say you were wretched sinners, and I get amens. And it's true, because we judged that Jesus Christ died for us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He gave us that faith that Paul was talking about there in the chapter 11 of Hebrews, about all those faithful brothers and sisters, how they endured those things they were going through. You think about Abraham when the Lord called him and told him to go, and Abraham didn't know where he was going. I at least had a destination this weekend. I was coming to McMahon or Dale, Texas to start with. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but the Lord said, you go, and I'll tell you when you get there. There's some faith, brothers and sisters. Going into leaving everything that you knew. And that's the same with a lot of you, a lot of those that are among the old Baptists today. You grew up hearing other things preached, being taught that it's dependent on what you do. But the Lord blessed you. The Lord blessed you to see when you got to the house of God. Maybe it was good brothers and sisters leading you. Maybe it was a spouse that sat down and shown you. But it was all by the grace and mercy of God.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The author, excuse me, and finisher of our faith. Done sung too much already. The finisher of our faith. You know, right now, faith is the substance of things hoped or the evidence of things not seen. I haven't seen heaven. I've got that little taste that's come down and we're here, but I haven't seen heaven, but I have a hope one day that I will be there. I have, through my faith that the Lord has blessed me, I will see those of my loved ones that's gone on. If the Lord doesn't come back, we're all going to breathe out our last breath, but our faith is this is not the end. But brothers and sisters, there's coming a day that faith's going to end because we're not going to need that faith. He's the author and finisher of that faith. You know why we're not going to be it? Because we're going to see him with our eyes, as Paul, Job said, and not another's. We're not going to need that faith. He, right now, he knew what we needed. Right now, he knows what we need. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Joy set before him. I think it was that big Roman cruel cross that the joy that he was looking at was his bride. His brothers and sisters, knowing this is what it's going to take for them to be with me, for my bride to be with me. He went to that cross, willingly laid down his life. And I think about him going to that cross. You know, over in the book of Numbers, chapter 5, I won't go and read, but there is an account there about where you can go and read where if a man believed that his wife had been unfaithful, take her for the high priest. And they were to take the dust from the floor and put it in a cup and put holy water in there, and she was to drink that. And if she had been unfaithful to him, there was things that would happen. You know, our Lord didn't. He didn't hand that cup to his bride. He took that cup and he drank it himself. He knew we couldn't bear those things. He knew he was going to the cross to bear something that we could not bear. Yeah. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus for the joy that was set before him. He endured that cross. Brothers and sisters, that word endured there means that he suffered. He knew exactly what he was going to suffer. He was going to suffer to the point that he would even cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He tasted something out of it. He drank every bit of those dregs. He tasted something for, brothers and sisters, for us that we never will ever taste. Being forsaken by his God. By God Almighty. You know, there's times that my sins have separated me from the fellowship of God. But my sins, if you will, he's loved us with an everlasting love. That's one of those that I believe it because the Word of God says, but I can't really wrap my mind about how he loved me when there was no beginning to it. I can see when there was no end to it. But brothers and sisters, he loved me. He loved you. And he sent his Son to die on that cross. You know how important, you are to God, to Jesus, to one that went to a cruel Roman cross, looking unto Jesus, where the word of King, there is power.
Yeah.
There's a sermon that some of you brothers have heard me or preach. Try to sometimes. You know, never a man spake like this man. He could speak and things happened. He spoke and Lazarus came out of a grave. A dead man was made alive and came out of a grave. He spoke whenever they came to take him and the band that come to take him fell backwards. He spoke and the storm, he spoke out on the bow of a ship and the storm became a great calm. He went to a cruel Roman cross. He didn't open his mouth and say, you're not going to nail me to a cross. No, he knew that's what had to happen. Every sin had to be paid for. And that's what it took was being purchased, being redeemed. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. You know, today there's a lot of people worried about the economy. Brother James, somebody he'd like to at least keep up with his money. You know, there's a lot of people that are trying to take the money and buy silver and gold and say, this is what we're going to have. The paper money is going to be no good and all of that. You know, brother and sister, that silver and gold was no good. Because what purchased us, what redeemed us? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what redeems. Looking unto Jesus. That he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are so precious unto him. So precious. That even when he was hanging on that cruel Roman cross, all he had to do was speak. All he had to do was say a prayer. You know, he told Peter there in the garden whenever he had take the sword and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. Told him to put up the sword. He said, could I not now call down more than 12 legions of angels? He never prayed that prayer.
Right.
He endured that cross.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He endured it. Brothers and sisters, that's where our focus needs to be. I'm so thankful for the sermons that have gone before. I'm so thankful that the brothers have told us, you know, about how that when we come to the house of God, we can be fed. I needed that this weekend greatly. But I need also to be reminded. The course that is set before us, your course is different from my course. This church's course is different from the churches where I pastor. But we all have the same God, the same place to put our focus, looking unto Jesus.
You know, I was talking about the targets whenever they're out there at a long distance. Learned this the hard way early on in shooting some competition. You've got to really concentrate sometimes. Because you're lined up, you may have, the ranges I was at was very small, but you may end up with 50, 60, 75 people left on some of the bigger ranges. And a long distance, you can very easily, you may be on target number 10, but you look down there through your sights and you don't realize where you're at. You may be shooting target 9. You're not on target. You're missing. Brothers and sisters, we need to be looking unto Jesus, putting off the things of the world, putting off those things that are behind. You know, one of the things about competition shooting that early on men realize, if you can just kind of put blinders on, if you will, they did. We would take things and put it to our eyes so our peripheral vision wouldn't be looking at this thing. Even cover up our weak eye so that only our dominant eye, only thing we were looking at was the target. Brothers and sisters, we need to put off the things of the world. When Jesus was walking on the water and Peter came out and walked with him there, you know, Jesus was walking on the water and Peter came out. As soon as Peter took his eye off the Lord, he started going down. When we take our eyes off of him, we go down. So we need to be looking unto him. As for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself. He endured. Consider him. I'm going to have to, brother, get ready. My voice is not going to hold out. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He endured those sinners. One of the verses that always gets me so much is when Jesus prays unto God the Father and says, "Have mercy unto them. They know not what they do." He was dying for those, some of those that were sitting there saying, "Crucify, crucify." How precious are we to him? He endured these things for the joy that was set before him. Because he says, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is set down. That job's finished. He redeemed us. He purged us. He reconciled us. Brothers and sisters, that's where our vision needs to be. That's where we need to be looking, not just today, not just for this weekend, but when we leave here today. I'm so thankful for the scriptures. I'm so thankful for brothers and sisters that stand for the truth. But brothers and sisters, my greatest thank. And I know I'm an unprofitable service and I've only done what I've been called to do. But I thank the Lord the most is for his love and his mercy. I thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord bless you.